Good morning and welcome to a brand new day. It is Monday, the 20th of May. God, the year is just flying by, is it not? Monday, the 20th of May, 2019. My name is Luke Boner and that is Miss Jess out there. And together we are The Night Shift. Love your company this morning. If you've got something to say, say it. What about that election, eh? Who would have thought? I understand that there was one person that bet $1 million on Labor last week with one of the sports bets companies. Oops. Oops-a-daisy, hey? There are still plenty of seats to be counted, but Scott Morrison's across the line. It'll be interesting to see what happens. What about Clive Palmer, Jess? $60 million in advertising, not one seat. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Who'd have thought? Anyway, I don't want to get bogged down on the election. Later this morning, we'll have a wrap-up with Shari Marksom, who is the head political reporter for the Daily Telegraph. She's got a couple of interesting pieces of information to reflect on, but we'll do that later this morning. But I'd like to talk to you, 133353, if there's something that is on your mind. Here's a question. Just something a little bit lighter off the top this morning. Have you ever had a premonition? The person that bet $1 million on the ALP winning the federal election obviously isn't quite up to scratch. But have you ever had a premonition and predicted accurately the future? A man has scooped a $1 million lottery prize after dreaming the winning numbers. The man, who wishes to remain anonymous, I bet he does, said he dreamt the numbers one night and had been playing them ever since. He said, "I checked my ticket online and discovered the news. I thought one day I would see them all there." The winner said the numbers had won him other prizes as well. He added, "They certainly are my lucky numbers and I'll be keeping them." And he won't tell us what the numbers are, and I get that. He purchased the winning ticket from an East Devonport news agency in Tasmania. He said, "It's not the first time a winner has claimed to have seen lucky numbers in a dream." Early this month, I think we mentioned it on the program, there was this woman in the United States who won $101,600 after she too dreamt of the numbers. She dreamt that a man came to her and gave her the lucky numbers and they won. Have you ever successfully had a premonition? Tell us about it. 133353. I'd love to hear from you. Now, we often talk about how standards, whether they be behavioural standards, disciplinary standards, are softening and that it's having a detrimental effect on our young people. I want to ask you this question. Do you think this teacher was out of line? There's a young boy named Camden who's come home. This is a story I read online yesterday. He came home from school in tears. When his father asked him what the matter was, he presented a piece of homework from the previous day that he had not completed. And a note had been scribbled at the top of the page, and it read, "Absolutely pathetic." The father was outraged when he realised that the teacher had called his son pathetic and decided to take matters into his own hands. When Camden came home, teary-eyed and depressed, his parents asked him what was wrong. So he's presented this homework, "Absolutely pathetic," written on the top of it. Now, Camden, according to the article, is not an overachiever by any standards, but up until this incident, the child seemed to be doing reasonably well with his schoolwork, and the parents hadn't had any serious issues. Anyway, however, starting the second grade, the amount of complaints had gone up dramatically. So the father decided he was going to go down to the school and give the teacher what for. Apparently the child had been struggling more specifically with his classwork. At home, he seemed pretty normal, according to his father. He was not hyperactive. He didn't indulge too much in things like TV, video games and sugary foods. But the father was outraged when he saw "absolutely pathetic" written across the uncompleted homework and decided to give the teacher what for. Here's my question. Was that teacher too harsh? I'll get Jess to put this story on our Facebook page. Are we too soft on our kids these days? God, I mean, back in the day, if you didn't complete your homework, you got more than absolutely pathetic written on your piece of paper. You got notes sent home to your parents. I even remember one kid in primary school getting the cane for not completing homework. So this teacher's written absolutely pathetic, and the father thinks it's outrageous. What do you think? Are we too soft on our kids, or was that just way too harsh? What do you think? 133353. Now, hands up anyone who's ever received a parking fine issued by a council officer. I want to know if this happens all over Australia. It's a council in Sydney, Campbelltown Council, that's had to issue millions in illegal parking fines. This council could be forced to hand back millions of dollars after admitting it illegally slugged motorists in shopping centre car parks. And people who lost $561 and won the merit point for parking in a disabled parking spot could also be entitled to get their lost points back. A former employee at this council said parking rangers were told in 2017 to stop issuing fines at the shopping centres because the council did not have a valid contract authorising them to fine people on private property. This is interesting. Does this happen nationally? These contracts, which expired in 2015, 2013 and 2008 respectively, have been obtained. Where did I read this yesterday? The Sunday Telegraph. And they give the council the right to issue fines for parking in a disabled parking spot, parking out of bay and other offences. The Southwestern Sydney Council admits to handing out the fines without authorisation. The ex-employee, who didn't want to be named, said it was common knowledge that the council, that the public were being illegally fined. The council knew about it, but continued to rake in the revenue. This ex-employee said people at the council were outraged about what was going on, but they were not allowed to talk about it. They said it was a fix-up. These $500 plus fines were being handed out during the holiday period when people were shopping for Christmas. And this ex-worker says the public has a right to be outraged about it. This council in Sydney, Campbelltown Council, made $1.34 million in parking fines 2017 to 2018, according to the Office of State Revenue, and is on track to match it this year. I wonder how many councils are fining people when they don't have the correct authorisation. We'd never know, would we? We would never know. But according to this former employee, it happens all the time, everywhere. So you just wonder, if you get a parking fine in the shopping centre, is it worth challenging it legally to find out if the council or if the ranger that is issued the fine does have the correct contract with the shopping centre? It's an interesting one, isn't it? And this council may have to pay back over $1 million in fines and then go to all the trouble to have demerit points reversed. But you would never know. How many people would get fines and just pay them? Anyway, if you've got an experience that you'd like to tell us about, I want to hear about it. 133353 is the telephone number. Remember last week, we were talking about, it was a caller through to the program that suggested we get rid of the states, that we don't have states and territories in Australia, we just become one big country with a federal government and maybe a local government to look after roads and that sort of stuff. But do we actually need states? Can somebody please explain to me the benefits of having different states and territories in Australia, except, of course, state of origin football? I mean, state of origin football, you'd have to at least keep New South Wales and Queensland. No, but seriously, the former Prime Minister, Bob Hawke, who passed away last week, he was a really big supporter of calling for the state governments to be abolished. Labor has historically been in favour of centralisation, while the coalition has supported federalism. And Bob Hawke, that's why it came up. Someone said, yes, Bob Hawke was always very, very in favour of getting rid of the states. The reason Australia has a federal constitution is a negative one. It was due to fear from the colonies of domination by each other or by the new national government. Taken at its best, the adoption of federalism in preference to a united system was the necessary price of creating Australia as a nation. At its worst, it was a base compromise pandering to colonial jealousies, which now saddles Australia with an unnecessarily complex of expensive forms of government. So Australia is left with 9 governments and 15 legislative chambers for a population of 25 million. And the costs, folks, are staggering. The annual cost of federalism to the economy is estimated to be somewhere between $40 and $50 billion. Anyway, I just wonder if it would ever come up as an election issue. The pros and cons of getting rid of the states. Can you think of any? Give us a call. Let's have a talk about it. 133353 is the telephone number. Oh, Nick Kyrgios, God. You remember last week we were talking about his underarm serves and his drop shots and all that to reach the second round of the Rome Open. Rome Masters, it actually was. Well, he was kicked out and is facing suspension and a heavy fine after being defaulted in his second round clash with Norway's Casper Ruud. Just hours after an explosive interview in which he ripped into Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic, and others, Kyrgios stormed out of his second round clash after hurling a chair onto the court. Should Nick Kyrgios just give it away? He obviously doesn't enjoy it. Now, I was listening to a sports panel program on telly yesterday, and one of the panelists said, look, you've got to understand these tennis players are highly strung, and just throwing a chair onto the court is no basis for suspension. Others were saying he should be banned from the ATP Tour for at least 2 years. What are your thoughts? Should Nick Kyrgios be banned from the ATP Tennis Tour? Did you see the tantrum? Did you see what happened? It was absolutely appalling. Or am I just being an old fuddy-duddy? Anyway, we'll throw that one into the mix. And I want to just bring up something. Let me just find it. Here it is. Here, Jess, I want to know if you could please take a screenshot of that text that I received on Saturday morning and put it on Facebook, because here's something that happened, and I want to know if it happened to you. Saturday morning, my phone goes, it's a message. And I look down at it. And it was a message from the Liberal Party candidate for the seat of McKellar, Jason Falinski. And it was an ad. It was a couple of lines of propaganda, an ad, you know, reminding me that I've got to vote for Liberal in McKellar. I'll read it out to you. My phone's just on the charger over there. I'll bring it in a minute. It's a short text urging me to vote for Jason Falinski in the seat of McKellar. I didn't ask for this. To me, it was intrusive. I am not on anyone's database, am I? I must be. How did this message get through to me? And the day before, I got a very similar one from Scott Morrison, reminding me the election was just about upon us and to vote Liberal. I'll read you the messages. I'll get Jess to take a screenshot of them. But how is it that this came through? How did they get my number? So what did I do? I replied, Jess. I replied. I said, how did you get my number? No response. I got absolutely no response.
You're messaging a computer. It's not a person. It's a database. A database cannot respond to you.
How did they get my number?
Probably through a leak, probably through a telco, an organization that would have contacts. I reckon it's a telco for sure. Well, there's a lot of dodgy people that sell contacts.
Okay, but here's the thing. If that was a business, a legitimate business, that would be illegal, highly illegal, but it's not for politicians. Why?
No, because they are above the law, it should seem.
It is. They are. Why? How come a registered business is not allowed to keep me on a database without my knowledge and, furthermore, is not allowed to send me unsolicited messages? Not allowed to. There are laws in place. But Politicians can. How come they're different, Jess? How come they're different? Anyway, just something I thought I'd share with you. 133353 is the telephone number. I'm going to talk to Trevor Long, tech expert, about that later this morning. Well, that'll get us started. How are you? You all right? I'll give you the national weather details as soon as Jess can be bothered to hand them to me. Where's my weather?
It's on its way.
It's on its way.
It'll be fine, though. There's nothing dramatic coming.
You can read it today.
If it's boring, I'm not reading it, and it is boring.
She only likes cyclones, hurricanes, massive storms, flooding, heat waves. Otherwise, Jess just doesn't do the weather.
Yeah, but it's good. I mean, you know, okay. Nothing dangerous is coming, so you're all fine.
We're all fine. Anyway, we're off and running, folks. There we go. That's a little bit of what's on my mind. I want to hear what's on yours. This is the Night Shift Around Australia on the Triple M Network. G'day, Jason, your first caller.
Hey, how are you, Luke?
Very well, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. I just wanted to give a call. I was just listening to you about what you're talking about with the teachers and the kids' homework.
Yeah.
You know, I've got twins. I've got 6-year-old twins, one boy, one girl, and I've got my girl's pretty academically good. You know, loves reading, loves writing. My son, not so as much. But I disagree with the father. I think the teacher hasn't been too harsh because you know what, they've got to learn.
You're absolutely right, Jason. And did you know? Now, I'm not sure whether this goes on all around Australia, but in New South Wales schools, teachers are no longer allowed to mark with a red pen.
And yep, we get it up here as well.
Because it's seen as aggressive.
Yep, we've actually noticed a massive difference. Like, you know, especially when we went to school, you know, things were tough. You know, teachers were firm on you. Now, you know, I couldn't understand how a teacher could be a teacher because they're like, there's so many rules and boundaries that they can and can't do. You know, like even to the point that like my son in particular, you know, he's even come up and said, "Oh, you can't discipline me anymore. My teacher's told me that." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I can, you know, because you're my son. You know, I want to make sure you're doing the right thing and not the wrong thing."
Mm.
And you know, they're taught how to be soft, not taught how to do things right. And I sort of wonder how they're going to be, you know, in life.
Well, I was talking to a friend of mine. This is going back a few years, and he was having real problems with his son. His son was in about year 9. And yep. and he was just going through that bloody stage, you know, and he knew everything and he was rude and he was going through a real problem time with his son. And his son came home and said, "You can't discipline me," just like you just said. And in fact, my teacher told me that I can get a living away from home allowance and I can leave home.
Yeah, well, my son, very similar, my son actually said, "Oh, my teacher said that we can call the police." And I said, "Look, I'll dial the police for you."
Mm.
You know, and it's just sort of like, you know, kids are getting, you know, they're more soft these days than what we used to be. You know, it was quite firm in school where, you know, if you didn't do your homework or if you didn't do your assignments, you would get a grilling. You would get, you know, in trouble for it. Now, what's it showing kids that they've got to do? What's it going to be in the future for them?
I don't know the answer. But look at something else that's happened today that didn't happen when you and I went to school, and that is everyone gets a certificate.
Exactly it.
Everyone gets a prize.
Yeah, exactly it. You know, like a particular. I'll give you one thing that really got under my nerves just recently was, you know, Mother's Day and obviously Father's Day last year, where, you know, they can't talk about it. It's not Mother's Day and Father's Day anymore. It's Special Parents Day.
Parents Day. Yep.
You know, I'm sorry, but, you know, isn't the whole rules about, you know, and you know, making sure that everyone's, you know, equal? I understand that, but, you know, geez, don't take it away from people.
I'm lost. I'm lost with it all. And I'm told that I've got to get with the program because I'm an old dinosaur and a fossil.
Yeah, well, I'm 38 and I'm still confused with, you know, trying to understand it because you're sitting there going, hang on a minute, you know, it's different for the way we grew up.
Mm. So, Special Parents Day.
And that's what that's been drilled into them. It's Special Parents Day.
Mm. Special Parents Day. You can't mark homework with a red pen. And here we have a father that's gone off his nut and gone down to a school to take matters into his own hands because his child had only had incompleted his homework. And the teacher wrote absolutely pathetic on the top of the...
Exactly it. And it's disappointing to see that, you know, this is the way we're going.
It's the way we're going. It is the way we're going, Jason.
Mate, I absolutely love listening to your show, and, you know, I was on the way to work, and I thought, you know what, I'll give a call for the first time.
Excellent. We'll do it again. It's easy.
Absolutely. Would love to. Talk to you soon. Thank you very much.
No, thank you. Thanks for your call. And if you are a long-time listener but have never rung, have a go today. Have a crack. We're all ears. 1-3-3-5-3 is the phone number. If you want to get through to us via social media, you can. Our Facebook is The Night Shift on Triple M. You can tweet us at MMM Night Shift and The Night Shift at triplem.com.au. Yeah, Max is in Melbourne. Hey, Max.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Talk to me.
Apparently, we've got privacy laws in this country protecting our phone numbers and so forth from Indian conglomerates, from getting our numbers and haggling in our privacy and creating identity theft. But it's open for politicians to grab our details and try to win a vote from us.
Exactly.
And where's our privacy?
I don't know. I was a little bit annoyed. Then I got really annoyed. And so I wrote back. I said, how did you get this number? And I got no reply. And Jess said that's because I was replying to a computer. But I found it intrusive. Jess, what time did that message come through? She's got it there. She's going to put it on our Facebook page so you can see. It was in the morning.
It came through, yeah, in the morning. I can't see the time. This phone is like from 1943, so I'm really struggling with it.
No, I think it was about 7:30. I think it was about 7:30 in the morning. It's there. I'll find it. Yeah, I've got one of the oldest iPhones. I think it's the one that Steve Jobs was demonstrating when he launched the iPhone. But seriously. But
honestly, it's an artifact. It's worth a lot of money.
You reckon?
Oh, yeah. This is a fossil phone.
Okay, so there you go. But it's intrusive. I didn't ask for it. And if it was a business, if it was any other sort of a business, it would be illegal. But politicians are allowed to do it. Like, what time
was it? One of them is customised. They know my name. Hi, Max.
How?
Blah, blah. Why? Where's my privacy?
I don't know. And I'll tell you, can I tell you something else? And I'll show you this, Jess. There's a restaurant up the road that we really, really like. It's a 5-minute walk, so you can go up and you can have a couple of glasses of wine. And it's a pretty good restaurant. We like the food very much. We've been there twice. Both times I've booked over the phone. I have not booked online. Yesterday, I got an email from that restaurant with an ad. It was just an ad for the restaurant saying that they've got something special coming up. How did that happen?
That's a good question.
How did that happen?
Maybe they need to disclose it.
I don't know. It's an email. It's an ad. Saying, coming up on such and such a date, we're doing something or other. It was featuring some sort of wine. I don't know. But I just, how come they're emailing me this ad for this restaurant? I've been there twice, but I've only booked on the phone. I haven't left them any communication. But I have paid using my card. Could that be it?
Possibly. Maybe they've got a very comprehensive database collection.
I really want to know the answer.
Well, I'd also like to make a comment about what the previous person mentioned about this politically correct nanny state measure to make sure we're not parents, we're special person parents today, whatever that. We're trying to alienate people from being parents because we've got such a massive divorce rate, you see, that it's not politically correct. It's too hard to look at you like a parent. It's, you know, we need to address the new parent coming through, the step parent. It's like we need to punish the parent and reward the step parent for trying to take a measure here. With your own kids, mind me asking.
How many step parents listening to us now would be offended by saying it's Parents' Day today, or it's Dad's Day at school today, or Mum's Day at school? If somebody isn't the biological parent of a child that they're looking after, is it that big a deal? Are we making problems that don't exist? Was there a huge uproar from step parents right around the world saying we don't want to be called step parents anymore? We're called special parents. Really? Or does someone just think this stuff up?
Since when did I lose my right of being a parent and being you know, the only father of these kids. And we need to not look you. We need to look at the stepdad here. We'll reward them for, you know, trying to step in and step on your feet and take up the show of the special parent, where the kids can't even have a dialogue on this either. You know, with the political correctness, the nanny state, that we need to look forward and look that, you know, all of us are going to get divorced and you're not important anymore. You know, we're looking at the next person.
Are we close to the stage where we get rid of Mother's Day and Father's Day, do you think?
Maybe it's coming to that.
I wonder. Because there are going to be more and more children going to school that have two dads or have two mums.
Yeah.
And it's going to, and somewhere along the line, someone's going to get offended.
I don't think the government looks at the institution of family as being something of value.
You don't
it's
think so?
It's just an expendable item. No way.
Mm.
You know, but we reward you for being badly behaved, and here you go. Here's the reward of a divorce. You know, like, hey, clean it out. Get the lawyers involved.
Mm.
Yeah.
And don't mark homework in red pen because it's too...
Exactly.
It's too aggressive. That, seriously, that it's now policy. You don't mark homework in red pen.
And how dare you even comment on it?
Yeah. Oh, you can't criticise the work.
No, you'll get fined.
You'll get sacked.
Exactly.
Mm.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Good on you, Max.
Good on you, mate. Have a good night.
Tell me, the election, I'm not going to ask you how you voted because it's none of my business, but was the result a surprise?
It was a pretty surprise, but it's as far as I can see, it's quite close. They're going to find it very hard to govern, given what's happened.
Mm.
We might even have a double dissolution again. Who knows?
Oh, please, Max.
I don't want to be cynical or pessimistic.
Well, I tell you what, and it has happened before. Let's just say Morrison leads by one seat. What's he going to do when he has to nominate one of his own to be Speaker?
Well, we'll wait and see, hey?
I don't know if it'll get to that, but I'm just putting it out there.
They'll look at what's good for them.
Okay. Good on you, Max.
Good on you, buddy. Have a great night.
Yeah, you too. I appreciate your call. 133353 if you want to be part of it. G'day, Bill.
Hey, Luke. How are you going?
I'm very well. How are you?
Oh, good, good, good. I'm happy after the weekend.
Good. Very happy. It was a good result for you, was it?
Look, I think Australians have spoken and, I think Labor come in and just, you know, they put their policies out there and, you know, Morrison was quite smart and, you know, didn't put any new policies out there, and Shorten was up to get criticised on all his policies. But
I wonder if the folk, because the polls were wrong, everyone was wrong. I wonder if the folks really at the last minute looked at the costings and looked at all the promises that Labor were offering and realised, hang on, how are we going to pay for this? I don't know.
I think the best thing was that Clive Palmer, I mean, he backed the Liberals because he didn't want Labor in. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, he spent $60 million plus dollars on advertising.
Didn't win a seat. But
didn't matter. His preferences went to the Liberals.
Yeah,
when it's all said and done, Labor were going to really hurt the average person. It wasn't a matter of hurting the top end of town. It was a matter of hurting the average person. You know, pensioners, retirees, you know, and we're talking retirees that don't have a lot of money. You know, they were going to be the ones that were going to get hurt. And a lot of people that vote Labor don't realise that.
Mm.
You know, a lot of them just blindly, oh, yeah, I'll just vote Labor and, you know, they're going to do the right thing for me. They never do the right thing for anybody. They've never done it. It's traditionally, they used to be a party for the working class person, but they're not anymore. They're a party now for the person that doesn't work.
Yeah. And I wonder, and we'll find out today, tomorrow, next week, how many votes actually, protest votes, went to independents.
Yeah, well, isn't there six? There were six independents. Only three independents have got seats so far.
I thought there would have been more.
Yeah, I think there's only three at the moment. But, I mean, they haven't finished counting the votes.
No.
But, you know, at the end of the day, it just, you know, Australia didn't need change, and we didn't need this sort of change that was going to happen with Shorten.
Well, anyway, Shari Marksom is the head political editor of the Daily Telegraph, and she'll join me later on this morning with her look at what's happened and where we're headed. But I don't want to get too bogged down in politics, you know, because seriously, I think there are other things to talk about. But, you know.
Oh, there are. Look, and that school teacher, you know, dad going down, you know, like, what a joke. Kids need to get toughened up a little bit, as I said before. If parents stopped babying their children and made them a little bit tougher, you know, told them to stand up for themselves, you know, cop it on the chin, move forward, you know, I think the world would be a lot better place. But we've been brought up by the left side of politics telling everybody that, you know, we've got to do this for people and we've got to do that for people and we need to hold everybody's hands. It's just, you know, crazy. When I grew up, it was, you know, you got bullied at school, you got bullied at school, you know, you stood up for yourself and, you know, that was it. You know, you might get, you know, you might get a punch in the mouth or whatever, slap to the ground, but you got up and, you know, you brush dust yourself off and you keep going. You know, you don't sort of curl up into a little ball and you know, you can't deal with it, you just deal with it.
Yeah, your phone's starting to break up. Bill, thanks for your call.
Okay, mate.
No, thank you, got your point across well. 133353. Was Bob Hawke right? Should we abolish the states? Could somebody, besides State of Origin football, could somebody please give me a really good reason why we need to keep the states? Could we get rid of the states and get rid of that level of government? How much do the state governments cost us? In wages? Well, it creates a lot of jobs, I suppose, doesn't it? It's all bureaucracy. Is it possible for us just to be one nation? No Pauline Hanson pun intended there. Is it possible for us just to be a nation and not a nation of states and territories? I thought we'd throw that one in. And I really want to hear about your premonitions. 133353 is the telephone number. Have you ever had a premonition? Have you ever dreamt the future and it's come true? There's a story, I mentioned it in the opener, about a person who dreamt they won the lottery, dreamt that someone gave them the numbers, won $1 million, dreaming the numbers. The man who wishes to remain anonymous said he dreamt the numbers one night. He's been playing them for 13 years. It took him 13 years, but he's finally won $1 million using the numbers that came to him in a dream. Have you ever had a premonition? Do you believe people can tell the future? Or was it just a big lottery? Jess has just found me an interesting story. This is a newie. It was bound to happen, though. It was bound to happen. Burger King. And I wonder, do we need this in Australia? Would this be a good idea? It'd be fraught with danger, Jess, wouldn't it? Burger King will begin delivering food to drivers stuck in traffic. Burger King will begin delivering food to drivers stuck in Los Angeles freeway gridlock, notorious for becoming a virtual parking lot during rush hour. After a successful test in Mexico City, the fast food chain will use motorcyclists to deliver piping hot food using real-time data to pinpoint hungry drivers within a 1.9-mile radius from the closest Burger King. Burger King's ordering app will use voice commands to avoid tickets. Once placed, the delivery motorcyclist will use Google mapping technology to deliver, typically within 15 minutes from when the order was placed. Lane-splitting LA motorcycle commuters may want to double-check their life insurance policies. It was bound to happen. It was absolutely bound to happen. And you reckon it could happen here? Do you think it's a safe thing to allow the go-ahead? Anyway, there you are. You learn all this stuff here on the night shift. 133353 is the telephone number. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning, Luke. How are you, mate?
I'm very well. How are you?
Not too bad, buddy. Not too bad. Listen, I just want to talk about that child who got the pathetic mark on his homework. I at least think he should have got a non-satisfactory. And obviously, I think that the father, I don't know what he intentionally did, but... you did say he did take it out of his own hands and went and seen the teacher. I reckon, you know, at least have a chat to the principal or something about that teacher and not go straight to the teacher. I did have a few problems when I was at school myself, when I was in year seven. There was a bit in a book we were reading that there was a bit of a sentence I couldn't read, and the teacher looked at me and said, "Are you stupid?" And I said, "Shut up, bitch." And she came up and she goes, "What?" And she came up and choked me. And I was then sent to the first aid room.
You said, "Shut up, bitch," to the teacher.
Yeah, I did. She could have then said, "Look, that's enough. Get out of the classroom." But then she went and took it in her own hands and then choked me.
She shouldn't have done that. But if I dared say that to one of my teachers and my parents were informed, I would be scared to go home.
Oh, yeah.
I would have copped the belting of a lifetime and probably would have been barred from playing sport for God knows how long, which would be worse. I would have been in so much trouble if I'd said, "Shut up, bitch," to a school teacher. Can I ask, how old are you, Aaron?
Mate, I'm 26.
26. What made you think she had no right to touch you? And I get that. But what made you think you could say that?
Just coming from the comment she said first, saying, "Are you stupid?"
She asked if you were stupid. Yeah.
Kind of made me a bit upset, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I kind of reacted. I backfired, and then she obviously didn't like that. So then after all that, my mother went to the education department, and the education department went to the school, and they defended the teacher, obviously. Saying, "Nope, she wouldn't have done it, no way, she wouldn't have laid hands on a student." And Mum goes, "Look, I've got photos of his throat. You can see the hand marks." And they come back with, "Oh, it's not that hard to put their own hands around your throat."
Yeah, 26. This is 26-year-old Aaron. Folks, 133353. Aaron's teacher said, "Are you stupid?" Aaron took great offence at that and said, "Shut up, bitch." The teacher then put her hands around your throat, Aaron.
Yep.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. And then then your parents got involved.
Yeah, then my parents got involved.
When you told your parents that you told the teacher, "Shut up, bitch," what did they say?
They said that was probably the wrong thing to say.
Probably.
I did get grounded at the time.
Yeah.
As I was year seven, so I wasn't that old. I was only a young boy.
Yeah.
And I wasn't allowed to go out and play with my friends out in the street or whatever. But I had to do my homework. No TV. Go to my room. Do my homework. No computer games or nothing like that. So that was for a week. So I did cop consequences from Mum and Dad. But
what happened to the teacher?
Obviously, sorry?
What happened to the teacher?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing happened to the teacher.
So their argument was that you could easily have strangled yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was from the education department and the school.
Yeah, yeah. Shut up, bitch.
And then my mum goes, "No, I'm going to take this further," and just went, "No, don't worry about it." And then I moved schools. So I went to a different school after that. I just think the education system back then was a bit poor. It has gotten better now. I've got two younger brothers that are autistic, and they're in school now. They've got the best help they could possibly get, and the teachers are just fantastic. And even if they do, fail or non-satisfactory, as you'd say, they push them to try and get to that point where they want them. And it's good, you know. It's not like when I was in school, if you failed, you failed, that's it. There's no going back. But, nowadays I think the school system is pretty good.
All right. Listen, interesting story. It'll be very interesting, Aaron, to see the reaction from our listeners over that story, okay?
No worries. Thank you, Luke. Have a good night, mate.
I appreciate you calling in. You've given us something to talk about. So, Aaron took great offence at his teacher saying, "Are you stupid?" Which is a long way from absolutely pathetic, which was written on the homework. And so he said, "Shut up, bitch." She then, according to Aaron, proceeded to choke him. There would have been witnesses. I'm just, Aaron, are you still there?
Yeah, mate.
Sorry, just before you go, you said it came down to your word versus her word and with the education department, and they said it was possible that you could have put the marks on your throat yourself. Didn't she do this in front of a packed classroom? Weren't there witnesses?
Yes. There was a fair few, and a fair few actually went to the principal and the U7 coordinator and said, oh, this teacher, at the time, went, this is what happened, this is how it happened, and then she literally stormed up to the middle of the classroom, grabbed Darren by the throat and started choking him, and Aaron I was trying to resist, like trying to get out of it, and she had me with both hands around my throat, and it wasn't the softest grab, it was pretty tight, there was a fair few students, there was a handful of students, I went to say the principal and the coordinator.
And what happened then?
Nothing. The principal and the assistant principal kind of pushed it to the side and let's not worry about that one. We've got other problems to worry about in the school.
It sounds very strange. All right, Aaron, as I said, I appreciate you calling up, but we'll see what the response is. Thanks.
Thanks, Luke.
Okay, no, thank you. 133353. Now, Dan is in Melbourne. Dan?
Yes, Luke.
You wanted to talk about rorting councils. Now, what experience have you had?
I've had some experiences with a council, and I've never paid a parking fine and have gotten out of each single one that I've received. Very easy to do.
Take us through it.
Okay, so the first one I'd received, I'd parked about 30 metres away from a sign.
Mm-hmm.
The parking officers down the Knox City Council Way are pretty shifty. What they'll do is they'll drive past and take a photo of the car.
Yeah.
And not actually stop and put a ticket on the window. So a few weeks later, I'd received this fine. I said, no way. I didn't park in front of a no stopping sign, nothing. Asked to see the picture. Gone in there. Sure enough, there's a picture of my car. And you can see it was an A4 size photo.
Mm-hmm.
You can see my car in, say, the right-hand corner.
Mm.
And the sign in the far left-hand corner. And I'd sit to the bloke, so I had to make an appointment to see the photo and to speak to the officer that had issued it, but unfortunately he wasn't there, so someone else had stepped in. And I'd asked him, I said, where's the no-stopping sign? And he goes, right there. And I said, yeah, what would you say, 30, 40 metres away? He goes, yeah. And I said, but I'm parked over here. You just said it 30, 40 metres away. He goes, yeah, but still it's no parking. I challenged it. I received two or three letters from the council, one of them stating that if I do decide to proceed to go to court, they could increase the fine,
really?
The penalties. Sorry?
They threatened to increase the fine?
Of course. Yeah, what they say is that the outcome at court, if it got to the magistrate's court, could your fines and everything else could increase.
Mm.
And I said, I want to go to court.
Yes.
Don't give a shit. I want to go. Next one I received, sorry, we realised there was a mistake or an error, I can't exactly remember, and it was all forgotten about. I've done that two other times, the two other fines, and have got out of both of them when I've threatened to go to court and to actually go.
They've actually withdrawn it when they see that you are serious about going to court.
Correct. Now, and then there's another one you can do. Same thing, my mother's about 65 now, a couple of years ago. Same thing, she's mistakenly parked in front of a no-standing sign. And my younger brother goes, yeah, I'll fix that up for you, Mum, no problem. And got her a tow slip voucher that her car had been picked up at that about 20 minutes after the fine was issued.
Mm.
And I said, how'd you get that, mate? Mm. He goes, I just paid a toll of your bloody GST and a couple extra bob. And he issued it. I actually went online and bought myself a tow slip book and I've been issuing my own tow slips every time I get a fine.
Really?
And I've gotten out of every single one.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yes, you can. But the bigger rule of it is, if you're a drug addict, and this is actually says it in the first letter that the council will send back to you.
Yes.
When you dispute a fine, they are circumstances to withdraw the fine as well.
If you're
in a drug of dependence.
If you say that you are a drug addict,
yep.
You'll get out of it?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes. There's booklets and most of the doctor surgeries and stuff like that regarding council laws and that, and parking and that.
And if you say that you're a drug addict or on a drug of dependence, you can get out of a parking fine?
Yeah.
You sure?
Unless you have to park, run out and score because you're a drug addict.
It sounds very hard to believe.
I don't know. Google it. It does come up.
I'll have to have a look at it. Maybe if there's anyone out there that can verify this, please call us. That's it. That's amazing. Dan, thank you for your call.
No, that's all right. And now another thing, that thing that the teacher wrote on that bloke's homework was nothing wrong with that at all. We are growing up a nation of pussies. Simple as that. There's bullies. There's kids that get bullied. You've got to toughen up. It's simple.
What about that previous caller, Aaron?
Aaron's talking shit.
Yeah?
You know why I know? Because that's how I sound when I'm lying.
Sorry?
He never... The teacher didn't lay a hand on him. Yeah, he maybe called her a bitch.
He did.
Maybe grab him by the scruff of his shirt or something, and that's all it would have been.
You don't believe
that's what... That's why they didn't go no further.
You don't believe what Aaron just said?
Nah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Dan.
No problem. Thank you, Luke.
No, thank you. Bye-bye. Lots to talk about. Join the conversation. One to Newcastle now. G'day, Joel.
G'day, legend. How you going?
Good. Tell me a story.
Yeah, mate. Look, I've got one for you. So I'm at work currently, and I've got a bet going on with this little obnoxious South African bloke. Anyway, so what the question is, what the question is I've got for you, I'm pretty sure I know what the answer is because I know me cats, but...
You know your cats?
Yeah, I know me cats. I'm a bit of a feline connoisseur, as you say.
Are but, you?
So, what he said was, he reckons that if a lion ate a person with AIDS, not HIV, but actual AIDS, that it will catch it. And I'm 99% sure that they can't. It can't be transmitted between the two species, but he reckons it does. And I was hoping you could get a vet on or something like that that can tell us that a lion could not catch AIDS from a human.
Oh, it's too late to wake up Rob Zammit.
Oh, well, whatever. You can give him a call. Try him. But I thought even if you asked on the radio, surely there's a 24-hour vet out there that could answer it for us. You know what I mean?
Okay. If a lion ate a man that had AIDS, would the lion catch the AIDs?
Yeah, that's my question.
It's the weirdest. How did this come up in general conversation?
Mate, well, he reckons he's been all over the jungle in Africa. He knows everything, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. So that's we just got into a bit of a heated discussion, and that's the bet we've got going on at the moment, and we thought you could help us out.
All right. Can an animal...
Can a lion, specifically what? A lion, specifically. Well,
why, wouldn't it be any animal?
Nah, it's just lion. That's all he brought up. He said a lion.
Oh. HIV and catching infections.
No, AIDS, not HIV, it's just AIDS. Because I've read up on it myself, and it says that they can't be transmitted between the two because it's feline, FIV, and HIV is human, so that they can't cross paths. But he reckons it's AIDS. It's not specifically the HIV or the FIV, it's the AIDS. And I can't find anything online on it, although it's the same thing. But, yeah, that's where we're at. We're at a bit of a standstill, mate.
I've got a story here from... Can you turn the radio down?
Me? So I haven't got the radio on.
Oh, there's an echo.
Oh, sorry, mate.
Really annoying. Okay. I've got an ad here from The Telegraph.
Yep.
Not an ad. A story from The Telegraph. doesn't have the date when it was printed. Here we are. October 2003. Okay?
Yep. Yep.
AIDS is not only killing millions of people in Africa. There is growing concern that it is also killing lions and driving the king of the jungle to the brink of extinction. With scientists reporting a devastating collapse of the African lion population from 230,000 in 1980 to fewer than 20,000 now, the decline has traditionally been blamed on loss of natural habitat and hunting. But advances in virology and groundbreaking field research suggest that large numbers of lions could be dying from AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome, because their immune system has been destroyed by lion lentivirus, which is the lion version of HIV.
Yeah, it's called FIV. It's feline immune deficiency. We actually have it in Australia. Our cats can get it. My mate's cat died. I don't know if it was a bit promiscuous or what happened there, but yeah, he died from it. And that's why I know a bit about it. But yeah, so it's a completely, they can't be passed in between each other. But that it's the whole AIDS thing where he's going at. It's not the HIV or the FIV, it's the AIDS that he's sticking with. So I was hoping you could help us out.
Well, I'm doing my best. Much of the research into Lyme AIDS is being carried out in Botswana, the African country of just 1.7 million, which has the highest recorded rate of HIV infection in the world, 40% in some towns.
Well, it's a hard one.
Well, according to this article, which is quite old, I told you that, 2003 October, lions were dying in Africa because of AIDS.
Yeah, they still are. It's still an issue, but it's a different. The HIV and the FIV are both close, like they're out of the same family, but they're two separate diseases.
Maybe there's someone out. If there's a 24-hour vet, give us a call. All right, we'll put it out there.
All right, awesome, mate. Thanks heaps for that.
Okay, Joel, no worries.
All right, see you, mate. Have a good one.
That is the strangest work conversation I think I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Where do you work?
Up the Hunter Valley, mate.
And how many people are at work now?
Oh, there's about 12, 13.
Do you want to tell me what you do?
Boilermaker.
Good on you. All right.
Yeah. All right. No worries, mate.
Okay. That is the weirdest thing we've ever been asked to research. Can lions, if a lion eats a man or a person with AIDS, can that lion catch that AIDS from the person? Not from another lion, but from a person infected with AIDS. I have no idea why they need to know the answer to that. But anyway, give us a call if you know the answer. Brad, g'day.
G'day. I just wanted to touch on the last caller about getting out of a fine because of drugs.
Yeah, that was a strange one, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I used to work for Civic Compliance myself, so I kind of, know that it's not as easy as just saying that, that you're addicted to drugs. You have to get a specialist report made up, which has to sort of outline exactly how long you've had it, what treatment you're currently going under, how it affected you, how it caused you to commit the offences, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it's not as easy as just saying that you're addicted and you'll get off it.
How do you know all this?
Because I used to work for Civic Compliance.
Oh, you mentioned that. So they do address it. So it's a furphy. You can get out of a parking fine if you're a drug addict?
It is possible, but you have to go into a lot of detail.
Okay, what if I parked illegally because I wanted to run into the bottle shop and get a box of beer? Can I say, can I get out of this fine because I'm an alcoholic?
again, possible, but you would have to go, you have to actually be seeing somebody like... a drug and alcohol counsellor, and they have to actually go into a lot of detail about how your addiction caused you to commit the offence.
So it is possible to get out of a parking fine if you can prove that you're a drug addict?
Not just parking fines, but, basically all type of fines.
Speeding fine?
Most fines, yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Sorry I was speeding. I'm a drug addict. Oh, okay.
Not as easy as that, but... it is possible.
Wow. Okay, thanks, Brad.
No worries.
Really? Really? G'day, Jake.
Hey, Luke, how are you?
He was saying that it is possible to get out of a speeding fine or a parking fine if you claim to be a drug addict. Sorry, I'm still trying to absorb that.
Yeah, that's pretty right off.
Wow, Brad, what can we talk about?
I want to touch on the tap and go thing you were speaking about earlier.
Yeah,
I've recently, it's just gone through. 4 months ago, I had a few charges to my credit card from JBD Limited.
No, don't mention any names.
Oh, okay.
No need. Start again.
Oh, 4 months ago, I got a few charges to me credit card.
Yes.
And I obviously didn't make those purchases, so I contacted the bank and disputed the transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they'd contact this...
mob?
This place.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it just went into review. And then I followed it up. Oh, I got an email about it 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Saying that, like, my purchase has been, like, they confirmed that I made that purchase.
How would they know?
Oh, that's what I said. How would they know? And they told me to contact this company that runs this app.
Mm.
Can I mention that?
There's no need to just yet. I'll decide. Go on.
Okay. This app that you can get on your phone.
Yeah.
And they send you out a... like a mobile FBOS machine, like a tap and go square.
Mm-hmm.
And they said to contact them, so I did, and they put the transaction into like dispute, and it took them 120 days to come up with that I didn't make the purchase.
So they found out that you didn't make the purchase. So were you refunded the money?
Yeah, after 120 days.
120 days. What's the app called?
Square.
Square. Never heard of it.
Oh, it's from what I can read up, it's for local, it's for small businesses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You just go on their website, sign up, and pay $39 or something, and they'll send you a mobile tap and go machine.
Really?
Yeah, and then. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but...
Mm. All right, I'll have to do some research on it. Thanks for your call, Jake. Square. Hadn't heard of it. Maybe someone out there has. 133353. Stewie's been on hold. He's in WA. Whereabouts in WA are you?
Byford, south of Perth.
South of Perth.
Yeah, we're about 40 minutes south of Perth.
Good place to live?
Love it. It's right on the edge of the Darling Ranges. My... backyard runs onto a creek where kangaroos and everything are. I'm literally 5 minutes from the bottom of the scarp.
It sounds fantastic. I have to get out there.
You have to. You have to come down and visit.
Yeah, I will. Now, we were talking today about a bloke who won the lottery.
Yep.
using numbers from a dream. He scooped $1 million lottery prize after dreaming the winning numbers. He wants to remain anonymous. He said he dreamt the numbers one night, and they're the numbers that he plays. It's finally paid off. He's won $1 million. Do you believe in premonitions? Has it ever happened to you? That's one of our topics this morning. Stewie, go ahead.
Okay. Mine was in 1998. It wasn't... It's not a good story. I'll warn you now.
Okay.
In 1998, I decided to... I just recovered from spinal surgery. I decided to go for a bit of a drive around Australia, see Australia first before I travel overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought a second-hand car that had just been all modified and everything. I was taking it for a test drive. And I was heading down the Princess Highway in Victoria, away from Warrnambool. And I had this feeling to turn left. And it just kept nagging at me. Turn left, turn left, turn left. I just ignored it, and it got stronger and stronger until almost I could hear voices telling me to turn left.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, okay, yeah. And something made me look in the rearview mirror. There's a little white car behind me, and the next left was only like 200 meters in front of me, and I was doing, you know, 90, 100 kilometers an hour. I touched the brakes, waved the light, the hand out the window, the guy signaled back, put the indicator on, I turned left. And he drove past, waved hand, tooted, the usual country, yeah, thank you very much.
Yes.
And off we went.
Yep.
About 3 hours later, I got back home, and the police are waiting on my doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, oh, okay, can I help you? And he goes, oh, do you know such and such?
Mm-hmm.
It's my little brother's name. And I said, yeah, little brother. He goes, oh, what's wrong? What's he done now? Because he's always getting into trouble.
Yes.
And he goes, oh, we need you to come down to the police station. I said, all right, no worries. I'll follow you in my car. He goes, no, we'll take you in our car. I said, all right. I said, okay, this is really serious.
Mm.
So we get down to the local police station, which is right next to the hospital, and they go, Your little brother's been involved in a car accident.
Uh-oh.
I go, oh, how is he? And they go, he's deceased.
Oh, no.
And I thought, oh, shit. And they basically needed me to identify his body because they couldn't get hold of his wife. And so we did that. Mm-hmm. I won't go through all the detail, but we did that. And I was just in total shock. And I said, oh, you know, what happened? And they said, well, we don't know. We're not 100% sure. But we think it's what they call a wind drift, which blew his car from one side of the road to the other side on a single lane highway.
Yeah.
And he hit a car direct head on. And I said, what hit him? A truck? Because, you know, he like, took me out and showed me the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what hit him? A truck? He goes, nah, just a little car. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, and he pointed, he goes, oh, that car over there. And I looked over, and that's the last thing I can remember for about an hour or so, because apparently I passed out. And the cop was, you know, back in the police station and everything, and there's a nurse there that's right next to the hospital.
Yeah. You've looked at the car and passed out.
Yeah. And
you're in shock.
They go, you all right? I said, yeah, I'm just shocked. And he goes, why? And I said, that's the car that hit my little brother. And they go, yes. And he goes, why? And I said, you're not going to believe this, but I had this feeling I had to turn left when I was testing my car.
Mm.
That car was the one that was behind me. If I hadn't have turned left, it would have been me that hit my little brother.
Oh, no.
And jeez. The scarier part about it,
yeah,
is I went to see a clairvoyant about 8 months earlier.
Yes.
And she told me there would be an accident where one won't make it and the four people know each other. There was three people in this other car, a husband, a wife, and a young baby. My little brother went to school with the driver.
Yes.
He knew the wife, and he was at the hospital when the baby was born.
Huh. This is freaking me out.
So, yes, I believe in premonitions.
Wow, that's not a good story.
No, but it is in one aspect because I'm not religious. I'm not atheist. I believe everything happens for a reason. And I've been told by numerous people that when I'm driving by myself, my little brother's with me.
Yep.
And that's how I treat it.
Wow. That's just terrible.
Yeah. But, yes, I do believe in premonitions. Whether they're good or bad, everyone will go through good and bad premonitions.
Mm.
But as soon as I heard you and Jess talking about that this morning, when you came on air at, you know, 12:05, I thought, yeah, I've got to try and get through.
Well, I'm glad you did. And, look, I'm so sorry about that, about your brother.
You know, I believe we're all here for a predestined time. And it was Greg's time up. Yeah.
Hmm.
And it changed my life dramatically.
Did it? How?
I put everything on hold for nearly 3 or 4 months. And if I hadn't have taken the, you know, I ended up taking the trip 4 months later, you know, delayed by 4 months. And if I hadn't have taken that trip, I wouldn't be where I am now 20 years later.
Wow, it's an amazing story. Listen, Stuart, thank you for sharing it with us. I'm so sorry.
No problems. You guys keep up the great work. I normally listen to you between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning when I start work, our time, but I'm doing a late run tonight, so I'm starting later, so I won't hear the rest of your show by the time I get home.
There's a podcast. There's a podcast.
I know, yes, and the podcast is great. Yes, yes, I have rated it, and yes, it is awesome.
See, Jess, hang on a second. You've made my little girl smile.
That's... Thanks, Chewy.
No worries, Jess. You guys are absolutely awesome. And my passengers, between 3 and 5 o'clock in the morning, love this show.
Well,
by the time I pick up my passengers, you guys are signing off.
I see, yeah. Well, look, thank you, Stewie. Really appreciate the support and spread the word. Tell everyone, okay?
Oh, I do. Trust me, I do.
Okay.
All right, guys, keep up the good work.
Thank you, Stewie. That was a strange story. Have you, Jess, ever been to a clairvoyant?
No, it's not for me. I'd rather not know.
It really?
Yeah. What's the point? Wouldn't it stress you out if they delivered some horrible news?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd just be on edge. You'd be afraid to leave the house. You'd be anxious. I don't know if we're meant to know these things. I don't know if it's... I don't know. It's not for me. I don't believe it's healthy to seek it out.
I told you about the clairvoyant in Canberra and the story about my dad's watch.
Oh, yeah. That was amazing,
That was inexplicable.
Yeah. I do believe people are gifted. It can be pretty incredible, but it's just not for me. Would you go again?
I actually spoke to her on the phone. I wasn't after a reading or anything. It was about something else. Somebody wanted her number. In fact, it was somebody at this network that wanted her number. So I don't know. I don't know if they rang her and what happened. But yeah. Do I tell the story again or have I told it too many times?
I'll go on.
Well, 23 years ago, my father passed away. And there were three people that delivered eulogies at his funeral, and I was one of them. And one of them was his best friend that he met in the when he joined the army in 1945. And one was a young fellow that worked at the dad's advertising agency that dad sort of mentored. And anyway, mum chose him to do the third. And Mark was his name. Still is his name. And anyway, I didn't know this, but Mark rang me many years later. Tracked me down, rang me, and he said, listen, I don't know whether you know this or not, but your mum gave me your dad's watch as a way of saying thank you for delivering the eulogy that she thought I might like it. And it's been bothering me ever since because I don't feel I'm the right person for this watch. And I wanted to know, did you know about it? I said, no, I knew nothing about it. He said, yeah, and I'm just wondering, would you like your dad's watch back? And I said, yeah, that'd be great. And he said, okay, well, we'll get together and we'll work out how we can do this. And then we lost touch. And nothing more was said about this watch. And I didn't tell anybody about that conversation with Mark. Told no one. So anyway, a few years later, I'm talking to this clairvoyant in Canberra, Angie. And she had a couple of interesting things to say, things that could have been, you know, one way or the other, you know, nothing too specific. And just as we were about to finish the phone call, she said, oh, by the way, there's something that has just come to me and I don't know whether this means anything to you. I said, yes. She said, your father wants you to have that watch. Does that make sense? And well, I nearly fell over because I had told no one about it. And she said, your father's telling me he wants you to have that watch. Does that mean anything to you? Well, I mean, how do you explain that, Jess?
I know, it's crazy. I don't know if you can explain it. I think some people maybe just have that gift.
But you can't make that up.
No, you can't. There's no need to.
But what do you mean no need to? You can't make that up. You can't pull
No, as in you making that story
up. Oh, no, I'm not making it up.
Yeah, no, you can't. That's what I'm saying. It's got to be a gift, right? How else can you explain it?
How could someone... I'd like to speak to a skeptic, Jess. Let's see if there's a skeptic out there that can possibly tell me how she did that. A logical way on how she could say that. Because I told no one about it. Anyway, 133353 is the telephone number. This is the Night Shift on the Triple M Network.